I would like to deal with the concept of morality today, and this morning in particular, to talk about where does the concept of right and wrong actually come from? Why are some things right, and why are other things wrong? In the scripture reading that we had in Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, and if you notice in verse 14, Romans chapter 2, verse 14, my Bible will not flip today like that. There we go. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending them. The Gentiles were able by nature, in other words, without someone actually telling them, to know right from wrong. They didn't have a written law like the Jews did. And yet there was a concept of right and wrong among the Gentiles. So where does it come from? Where does the idea come from that morality exists? Well, some of the things it doesn't come from. See, if some people want to deny that there's an actual absolute right and wrong. And so they will claim that morality basically depends on the situation. Whether something is moral or immoral depends on what you're dealing with at the time. In particular, if the results look like they're good, then we're supposed to conclude that what led to those results is also good. But Paul points out that that reasoning is false. In Romans chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 20 and read down into chapter 6. The law came in so that transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Paul's basic argument is to say that, well, every time I sin, it doesn't matter how monstrous my sin is, God's grace is going to be able to overcome it. Well, grace is a good thing, right? So, let me sin really badly so I get a lot of grace. And Paul says, no. May that never be. That's absolutely the opposite of what God's trying to get across. It really doesn't make sense. It actually is a contradiction. In fact, earlier in chapter 3, Paul said in verse 8, Romans 3, verse 8, why not say, as we are slanderously reported, and some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Their condemnation is just. You cannot produce good from evil. It just doesn't work. So to rate something by saying, hey, it looks good as a result, therefore, I can do whatever produces what I think is good, is not how we determine what is right or wrong. Now, we also got some people who will argue the morality comes from each individual. That it depends on what each person thinks. But if I just think about it on the top of my head, that doesn't work. There are some people out there that will do things that I don't agree with, that I just can't accept. But supposedly this is acceptable. And we're told that we're supposed to make allowances for different people's standards. But there's a lot of people out there who don't care about their fellow man. And if I apply this rule saying, well, I have to accept what other people think is right or wrong. Well, back in the bad old days, World War II and Hitler gassing all those Jews, he thought that was the right thing. He thought the Germans were a superior race. Let's wipe out all the other races. Well, that's not good. He thought it was right. What about Osama bin Laden, who, you know, blew up the trade towers? He thought he was doing something good from his point of view. Do we accept that? Basically, when we start saying, well, hey, I need to make allowances for every other person's standards, it doesn't work in reality. It might sound kind of good on paper, but it just doesn't work. So God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 10 that mankind is not the source of morality. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. We just don't have the capability to make up our own rules. But another thing that we need to understand is that morality doesn't come from the law. In going back to Romans chapter 2 again. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 14. Paul's point there was that the Gentiles were able to do right or wrong without having a law. Well, if you can do it without law, then it can't come from law. So law doesn't determine or decide or make something right or wrong. Instead, and it's very subtle, what law really does is tells us, defines for us, clarifies for us what is right or wrong. In Romans chapter 7 and in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive, and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin, by effecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. The law did not make anything right or wrong. It simply stated what already existed. It defined for us what already was right or wrong. Here's an easy way to explain this. Now, we have in science this law of gravity, right? Now, Isaac Newton came up with that law. But you know what? Gravity existed before Isaac Newton came up with his law. The law didn't make gravity. It just defined it. Murder is wrong. The law explains murder is sin, but the law didn't make murder a sin. It was already wrong. See, God's word is called the truth. Take a look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And in verse 142, it says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." God's laws are truth. It explains things exactly the way they are. See, unlike man's laws, which are sometimes arbitrary, we got some right now, as I look out off across the audience, and sometimes they're inaccurate, God's laws accurately defines what exists. So where does morality come from? Well, we've got to start with a very fundamental, foundational point about God, and that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John 4 and verse 8, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is the embodiment of love. God exhibits all attributes of love. And the fact that we have love is because God first loved us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, "By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because love fear involves punishment. And the one who fears has not perfected love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother from whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment which we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." And here then is the foundation. When we love, we're imitating God. And the commandment is that when we love God, we also love our brethren. Love didn't start with us. Back in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4, it says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins." And that's why Jesus then explains that the core of all law is love. Back in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 36. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." God is love. Therefore, the commandment is for us to love God. God is love and he loves us. Therefore, we are to love each other. And all the laws revolve around those two ideas. And all the laws that we have come from God as far as morality goes. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. The laws never came from man. In 2 Peter, or 2 Peter, chapter 1, and in verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Laws come from God. God, who's love, who wants us to love Him and love our fellow man. That's where laws come from. Those laws that God gave were for our good. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. Moses explained, God gave these laws for our good and so that we might survive in this world. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, and in verse 39, God says, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of the children after them. That's actually a prophecy about the new law. I'm going to give them a way for their good. And it's there so that we might live. It's so that we might survive. Take a look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. In other words, God in His love for us gave us laws to explain what is right and wrong. Right and wrong already existed. They come from God. But the laws explain it to us so that we understand why. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And then we, in turn, show our love for God by doing what He says. In John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when we follow God's laws, then we become more like God. God is helping us understand what He's like and how we can be more like Him. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. God gave us laws in reality to protect us from harm. The reason why certain things are wrong is because they hurt us and they hurt other people. Go over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. It's to keep us away from problems. And that protection from harm is actually evidence again of God's love for us. Probably an easy way to explain this. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, we tell the little kids, don't play in the streets. Now the little kids are looking at it saying, hey, there's a nice place to go skateboarding, and there's an, you know, it's nice and smooth. I can ride my bike. And why do I have to follow that law? But we understand it's to keep them from harm. A lot of times we look at God's laws and say, well, this looks like a whole lot of fun. I can do this and I can do that. Why do I have to not do those things? And God sees what the consequences are and says, this will harm you. Don't do that. See, we need laws. We need laws because on our own we don't accurately distinguish between good and evil. It is by learning God's laws and putting them into practice in our lives that we're able to actually make a distinction between what's right and wrong. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 6, or sorry, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unaccustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. In other words, though morality doesn't come from the law teaches us what is moral. And for that reason, the Jews had an advantage over the Greeks. The Greeks had to kind of stumble around and figure out what worked. The Jews actually had it defined for them. In Romans chapter 3 and in verse 1, it says, what advantage then has a Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some of them did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Even though the Jews were faithless, we read through the Old Testament, we find they broke the laws right and left. And God was constantly on their case. They did have an advantage of a greater and better knowledge of what was right and wrong. And if we look at the world, we realize the world around us really doesn't always understand what's wrong. They don't always recognize evil. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Guard your steps as you go into the house of the God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. A lot of people approach God not knowing they're doing something wrong. But the point is also, all around us, There are people who do not realize the harm that they are causing and the evil that they are committing. Over in Psalms chapter 82. Psalms 82 and verse 4. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not understand. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. The world could shake up. They don't know they're doing wrong. So when we go and put this in practicalities, you know, when Adam and Eve were told not to eat of that one particular tree back in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, the Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree in the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Did the law make the tree bad? Or what goes God saying is, you don't need to eat that tree because the consequences of that is really bad. That's the problem. Danger existed. There was something there with bad consequences. And Adam and Eve were made aware by commandment that the danger did exist. And the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And yet they broke that commandment. They sinned. And in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. They sinned. Death entered into the world. God always warns us of the dangers. There have always been laws. In fact, that's why Paul said this. He goes on to say, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. How long has sin been in the world? Well, ever since Adam and Eve broke the law. But Cain didn't do the same thing that his father did. But he sinned when he murdered his brother. You look down through the ages and there's all sorts of people who sin in variety of ways. And the law didn't show up until Moses. 2,000 or 3,000 years later. Yet sin was in the world. Back in Genesis chapter 4, in verse 7, God had warned Cain. He said, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Sin doesn't exist without the presence of the law. In other words, they're not held accountable. Because sin is defined as the breaking of law. But it doesn't mean that things were not immoral. That things were wrong. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness, or the breaking of law. So, why do we sit down and study our Bibles? And the answer is so that we can know what is good. Okay, so we know what works. So we know how to stay out of danger. In fact, God said over in Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, and in verse 6 through 8, what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the Lord on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, old man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. If God has shown us what we ought to do, then the wise thing, the prudent thing to do would be to listen to God. I'd like for us to read from Proverbs chapter 4. And then the lesson will be yours. Proverbs 4, I want to read this chapter. Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. For when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. In the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my sons, and accept my sayings. The years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, nor do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My sons, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you deceitful mouth, and devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected?